Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
We've got Geoffrey here. He's going to talk to us about underwater hockey.
Well, underwater hockey, what is it?
Yeah, it's quite hard to explain over the radio in a way, because it's an interesting sport. So it's a game of, we play with a lead puck on the bottom of a swimming pool.
So it doesn't float.
So it sinks to the bottom, and then there's two teams which are then trying to push that puck into each end of the pool where there's a goal.
Right.
And this involves holding your breath, wearing mask, fins, and snorkel, and then you're sort of a bit like rugby, moving it forward and up and down the bottom of the pool, and as a team trying to push it into the other opponent's goals, basically.
So,
yeah.
I mean, this sounds quite active. You've got to get a breath, then dive down at some peculiar angle to get at the puck.
Yeah, it could be underneath you. It could be. It's quite. There's a lot of three dimensional angles that you play at because you're twisting and turning to gain access to the puck.
So you're a bit like a dolphin then.
Yeah, yeah, or mermen or merwomen or mermaids, okay. You want to call it.
And
yeah.
With what did you hit this puck?
So it's a very short stick, because obviously a lot of the time we describe underwater hockey and people immediately think like ice hockey and ground hockey.
Yeah.
And they think this big long stick.
That wouldn't be very practical, would it?
No, you can't swing a stick underwater like that. So it's a very short stick. It's about a foot long, maybe less. And then you have that in one hand, which then has a padded glove to protect your knuckles from the bottom of the pool and also the puck itself, because you're sort of punching and pushing it around the bottom of the pool.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Because you can't really swing anything underwater, can you?
There's a lot of restrictions with the water. Yeah. So the puck moves slower than you'd expect. It's quite hard to. There's a lot of us can flick it quite far and hard underwater, but that takes a real time and practice to be able to do that. It's a difficult technique, but yeah, it's a really good fun sport. As you say, we play every Sundays at waterside in Ryde.
I was going to say, because you want a pool with a flat bottom, don't you?
So it's not the best of pools, let's say, because it does have, obviously, one end shallower than
it's
the other.
A rake on it, yeah.
So
yeah,
there's
yeah.
an advantage to one end of the pool to the other, for sure.
Do you change ends?
Yes, yeah. I mean, so every Sundays we play a friendly game, and then obviously there's an hour of juniors play, which we have seven-year-olds and up. We teach and train juniors in underwater hockey.
That's got to be fun to watch.
It's great. The kids are amazing at it, and like they're doing so well in tournaments at the moment. Because we've got one of the largest clubs in the UK now. It's really grown.
This is something I'd never heard of until recently.
I mean, I've been playing it for many years. Since I was 16, I started playing.
So at least five years.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, that's an interesting point, because like Maggie, I'd never heard of it at all. But I was. When you said it's one of the largest clubs in the country and you've got juniors or young people coming up through.
Yeah, that's what's really changed the club in recent years, because for a long time it was just an adult session once a week. And now we have juniors for an hour, adults for an hour, and then we have another hour on a Thursday night as well, but that's invite only. But yeah, so we're just sort of looking at the moment. We're doing a bit of a push to gain a few more, just a bit more interest and a few more players. Because then we can actually, again, expand a bit more.
Make people more aware that
it exists. Yeah, too, yeah.
So how many do you have in a team?
So in a standard tournament game, it's six aside, with four in a sub pen.
Right.
And that's active subbing. So you're in and out. You can sub as much as you want within a game.
Right.
But it's in a tournament game, it's very much a fast-paced sort of style of game.
So why would you need a sub?
Just because you're really pushing your body, sort of to you're holding your breath and sort of pushing along the bottom of the pool.
Vigorous swimming, yeah.
But you it's not about long breath holds, because a lot of people they sort of come to us and like, oh, I can't hold my breath for very long. It's like it's not actually about being able to hold your breath for very long. It's more about just being able to sort of stay calm and do quick little trips on the along the bottom, make as much of an impact, come back up for air. Get a few breaths and then go back at it again. So it's more about the attrition over a long time of breathing less than actually just holding your breath a long time.
Right, gotcha.
So you come up for breath, and presumably you've got to keep your eye on what's going on beneath you as well.
And above you. So it's like I said, it's a very three-dimensional sport.
Yes.
And so, and it's we've got a really good community of us that play, and you know, and we organise sort of things outside the club. So for the kids to do, they go bowling together and stuff like that. So it's really grown compared to what we...
They don't do when bowling I started, underwater, do they?
No, that's just an idea of an outside sport. But yeah, compared to when I used to play, it was just sort of just a bunch of old men is what I used to call it. But now we've got a lot of youngsters and we've got two juniors that are training with the GB. They're actually training for the GB squad.
Brilliant.
And they're doing amazing.
Right.
It's worrying because they're getting really good. It's scaring me. So, you know.
Is there a referee of some kind?
Not with in a tournament. Yes. So, yeah. Like I said, when we every now and again there's events or tournaments that we enter, try and get a team off the island to go to, and which is handy because we got Red Funnel sponsorship for cheaper travel.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Which is great because then we got the juniors and the adults can sometimes, you know, a lot of the issues we have with the island is the fact we can't just turn up easily to some of these friendly tournaments or main tournaments without spending a lot of money on travel and stay. For example, one of the tournaments we play is in Sheffield. So that's the big one.
Yeah.
And so you've got to travel a long way up, stay the night with a team of sort of 12 people or something. So it takes a lot to organise that. But the main thing we're interested in really is just to make sure that we maintain interest on the island so that... Because I like the tournaments, but the main thing is every week I can go, it doesn't matter the weather, I can get in a pool and swim and have fun with a game. Because
absolutely.
Yeah, I used to swim a lot, but this was another step up where I just find swimming a bit boring.
Yeah.
And I really like swimming, but it can be it's very much back and forward.
Yeah.
So whereas this is a team sport.
Yeah.
There's tactics and positioning and all sorts involved in it, which make it really interesting.
And is it a spectator sport? Can people come and watch it? Or?
They can do, but unfortunately, this is the problem with underwater hockey: is it's really not a
spectator sport. No,
it's everything. If you want to watch
the game, loads of dolphins swimming around.
It's fish in a barrel from the surface.
Yeah.
You really need to be in the water to see what's going on. And I think there's a lot of people that quite like that. There is that thing where the only people involved are the people playing, so you can watch if you get in the water for sure.
But you might be in the way then.
Depends.
You might be used as the puck.
But we do encourage people to come along and have a look. You know, even if it's just come down and see what's going on. We're wanting to get more interest in it. Either because you say from seven up, we've got players. There's a guy now. He's 80s. He still plays because it's
good
really
for him.
It's because. You're in water, and it's a very it's a non-contact sport, but you do get pushed around a bit, but on the body, it's very good. And the water confidence that you see the juniors and other people get from playing it is really good.
Brilliant.
So
this is going to sound like a dark question. If you watch any ground-based sport, like hockey, the players all shouting at each other. You can't really do that if you're underwater.
No, this is the other thing that makes it quite unique, where it's quite difficult. You've got to learn your positioning and communicate without speaking. You can't speak to each other underwater.
No.
So the most you can do is maybe give a little tap on the bottom of the pool.
You
could try.
But it wouldn't work very well.
people do often, you can hear sort of shouting for a snorkel because we're wearing a snorkel, and you sort of get this tubular shout through the water, but... most of the time it's a little tap on the bottom of the pool with your stick to sort of...
Right.
But again, there's no directional audio, so it's all...
No.
You really... But it's a very visual and sort of team game, so, yeah.
So when you say you have snorkels, do you have long snorkels or short snorkels?
No, it's just a standard sort of short snorkel that's just about... And that's only really so that you can breathe on the surface while looking at the game.
Right, gotcha.
So it's there's no...
It doesn't help you when you're down the
bottom.
It doesn't.
Unfortunately, our lung capacities aren't able to pull down air from that long snorkel.
No.
So, yeah.
Excellent. So are you encouraging more people to join your club? And
I mean,
particularly young people.
So we just, this Sunday, we had a taster session, we called it, and where we had an hour, we were just invited, as we put it out on social media, trying to invite new members to come along. I think we had nine people come try it out, and quite a few of them seemed keen to come again. So we'll see. We'll see what that's
like. So what's the name of the club?
So it's Isle of Wight Underwater Hockey.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says on the tin.
And you can go on.
You don't know. There might be the Isle of Wight Harriers. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Isle of Wight Underwater Hockey Club, and we have joked about in. implementing like a, you know, like an animal or something, because some teams are called like Krakens or, stuff like that.
We
figured with one team, like, yeah, we did joke about Isle of White Sharks, like white shark or white whales or something, but at the moment we're just, it's Isle of White Underwater Hockey.
That's
so
fine. And can people find out more from social media or a website?
So Facebook's a good way to do it because we've got a good page there. And then all the links there to give you emails to contact us, or even just message us through the Facebook app is the great way, because just Google it and you will find it.
Meet at Ryde.
So we meet at Ryde Waterside every Sunday. So
what's
five. So the juniors play 5 till 6, and then the adults play 6 till 7.
Yeah, so 5 till 6, trying to get home with something to eat before school the following day.
Lucia's got a question.
Hello.
Is there like specific training that you need to do to play it? Or if so, how long do you rate the training needs to be?
So, no, ideally we just sort of recommend that people can swim to a certain degree.
It does help.
I mean, it doesn't mean that you can't learn on the go. We obviously, we're keen to just sort of, we accept anyone in just to get them and do, we do training sessions with them. And then we also sort of integrate them into our games that we play. And obviously go easy on them because there's a range of abilities that you could be playing against. But it's, I wouldn't say you don't need to. The main thing is you're a semi-confident swimmer. It does help if you've got snorkeling experience, for sure. So if you are coming along, it does help that you know how to snorkel and fin it, but you can learn that while playing.
Oh.
Which is
good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So
is there a cost to people coming along to?
Well, we actually have, I think we still implement this, where the first three sessions are free. Sorry, that's
say
a
that
tongue
again.
Twister.
Yeah.
The first three sessions are free. So just to, again, to encourage, because it does take a little bit just to, you know, the first time you come along, it is a little bit like, this is nothing like I've seen before with a sport. If you get the bug, there's, you know, we've got plenty of people that love playing and really stick to it. So
good.
Yeah. And after that,
And then the costs. I'm trying to think. I think it's quite cheap for children. I think it's like for the juniors, it's about £5 a session. But then it's cheaper than that, I think, if you boost standing order. So a lot of the things it works out. Again, it's like £8-9 for an adult, but if you pay standing order, it works out cheaper. So it's not
too
bad.
Not too bad at all.
And do you have to have a specific uniform, as in your swimming trunks and?
No, ideally you wear sort of some either a swimsuit or swimming trunks that are tight fitting, so that you're not wearing like board shorts or something. But you can turn up in board shorts. It doesn't matter, but people will quickly point out how much it's going to slow you down.
I think you want something tight, otherwise it's going to pick up the water, isn't it?
Yeah.
A hat or anything?
We wear you know, water polo hats. So we wear water polo hats, which protect your ears, so because obviously in water polo, if you take a ball to the ear, it can hurt your eardrum.
I think it would.
Same thing if you take a fin, you could take a fin to the ear and it could hurt your ear. So there's that. So protection wise we wear like a gum shield sort of or guard over our snorkels, a water polo cap to protect your ears, and then wear a glove to protect your hand.
Yeah.
So, which again, from the bottom of the tiles on the bottom of the pool, or from the puck itself, because you're kind of pushing into it. And
otherwise, it's ouch, isn't it?
You'll dent your knuckles a bit. So
you don't want to do that, do you?
No.
That's really interesting. I've never heard of anything like that.
Yeah, me neither.
It's worth even just, you know, Googling it, or there's plenty of videos online.
Saw it on Facebook and I thought, what the dickens is that? We got to find out.
I was so pleased that it's successful and that you're getting young people coming through doing it.
It's been a few years now that we created the junior session, and that's just really changed the game, because the speed of things have got better. The ones that they're feeding, because the issue we always had was trying to maintain an adults group. And, you know, and sort
yeah,
of,
but you've got to start lower down.
But this,
to
yeah,
through,
yeah,
yeah. One of our young presenters is quite a keen swimmer, isn't he?
Yes. Tom.
Young Tom was on a Friday, so I had to mention that to him.
Tell him.
I'll mention it to him and say, come along, because he's a very keen swimmer. Excellent. Thank you for coming in.
That's all right, yeah.
That's fascinating.
Absolutely fascinating.
Your support matters.
We operate thanks to the support of local businesses. If you would like to advertise on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, contact our team today. Marketing at vectisradio.fm.